Hallelujah. Every bit helps and everybody working together, you know. And yeah, it is about kingdom, isn't it? It is about broadening and expanding out beyond our little bubble, our personal bubble, and also our only our local church bubble. Know that we're part of something bigger than we are. And in fact, we are citizens of heaven. So wherever we go, we host, amen, God. God dwells in us. Hallelujah. And the Lord wants a willing vessel that's willing to partner with him to express his love in this world, to speak the truth in love. Amen. So whoever's willing, the Lord will choose that one. Amen. Not golden vessels, as someone once said, but yielded vessels, willing vessels for God. Hallelujah. You know, we had this mentality, I think, in America for years. Well, that's up to the preacher to do all that, to do all the ministering. And we just sit and we listen. We sit sour and soak. We sit, soak and sour, or whatever it is. Yeah. No, we are being equipped, amen, for the work of the ministry. Every one of us here. Turn to your neighbor and say, you are a minister. Did you know that? Hallelujah. You know, I believe it's very important that we remember that our first ministry, right, is to our families, to our children. If you have children, amen, they're your responsibility, not the Sunday school's responsibility. And by the way, we're looking for laborers. The Lord is looking for laborers, by the way. Amen. We're looking for helpers in the nursery because this is a ministry. Amen. You're allowing somebody to be freed up, amen, so they can come here and be ministered to. And so don't ever think that, oh, it's just the nursery. And, you know, God sees. He sees what you do in secret. Even if nobody else acknowledges you or recognizes you, know that God does. And that's what really matters, amen, is that we are being seen of the Lord. Amen. That we're doing what's right in his sight. Hallelujah. Because if we're seeking to gain the approval of people, we'll end up compromising, you know, the truth. But if we're seeking the praise of God, amen, then we will be true to him. And we'll speak the truth in love, even when it's not popular. How many know that not everybody likes to hear the truth? There's some days I don't like to hear it. But I'm glad somebody had enough love in their heart to tell me the truth, amen, so that I could receive something that would help me. And I believe the more that we really grow and develop in the Lord, the more receptive we are to receive the truth. You know, God is trying to wean us off of ourselves, if you will. He wants to wean us off self-centeredness, self-dependence, so that we would lean heavily on the grace of God. Today I wanted to share a second part of really the message from last week, and that is complete freedom in Christ. God wants us to walk in complete freedom from sin, the power of sin, the power of Satan, and even from ourselves. How many know sometimes the hardest one to deal with is us? This tackle is me, right? And so God gives us grace for everything that we have need of so that we can be the people he wants us to be. Not just do the things that God wants us to do, but to be the people that God wants us to be. And when we're being who we are supposed to be, we will be doing what God wants us to do. Amen. Because we're doing it as unto him and not unto man. So faith in God alone overcomes the world. That is the victory that overcomes the world. And I'm going to say this, faith in God alone. Not faith in God alone, but just faith in me, but faith in God alone. Because if I try to put faith in myself, okay, then I find that I'm very limited, that I can only do so much. I can only go so far with that. And when it comes to the divine things, I cannot have faith in me. I must have full faith in my God who supplies the grace that I need to do what he's called me to do. Are you hearing me? So God wants us to get our eyes off ourselves and onto Him, and to rely or lean heavily on the ability He supplies us by His Spirit. Amen. His grace is sufficient for us to do what God's called us to do, but we have to tackle ourselves. We have to get ourselves out of the way so that God can come through our lives. And if we make it about us, we get in the way of what Holy Spirit wants to accomplish through us. Amen? Because it's our pride, amen, that stops the hand of God. You want grace in your life? Sufficient grace? You have to humble yourselves. Amen? And God doesn't want to have to humble us. He wants us to be willing to humble ourselves. And if you're a child of God and you're not willing to humble yourself, then He will humble you. Because He wants to bring us to a place where He can bless us, but He can't bless a mess, and He can't bless pride and arrogance. He won't. So it's not faith in ourselves, but faith in God, or not even faith in my ability to be faithful. Because then we can just boast about how faithful we are, or how spiritual we are. And then it becomes about us, doesn't it, again? The focus shifts from the One who's given us the ability to somehow we being the agents of that. 1 John 5:4, very familiar scripture, but whatever is born of God overcomes the world. And this is the victory that has overcome the world, our faith. The New Living Translation says it, for every child of God defeats this evil world. And we achieve this victory through our faith. Now, just as a review, Numbers 33:51, God told Moses, speak to the children of Israel and say to them, when you have crossed the Jordan into the land of Canaan, then you shall drive out all the inhabitants of the land from before you. Destroy all their engraved stones, destroy all their molded images, and demolish all their high places. God is saying, I want you to completely rid the land of anything that has to do with the devil. The inhabitants can be likened to demonic spirits today. It says you cannot cohabitate with them. You need to drive them out. Get rid of them. God wants complete freedom for His people. He does not want us tormented or harassed by these things. He says, I want you to get rid of all the idols, all the false gods, all the things that you are setting up before Him, things that you worship in place of God. Where is your passion at? What is your greatest desire? Is it money? Is it wealth? Is it the kingdom? Is it the things of God? You know, a lot of times we can be even guilty of putting our families before the Lord. But if we're going to be followers of Jesus, that cannot be a priority. Amen. As far as we have to take care of our families. Amen. But we cannot compromise the will of God to please family members. What is God telling me to do today? Well, we're having a birthday party over here. Well, Lord, is it okay for me to go to that birthday party? Or what would you rather have me do? Are we willing to listen to that voice, the voice of truth, and do what God tells us to do? Or are we more concerned about what people will think if we don't bow down to them and do what they want us to do? Fear of man is a snare, is a trap, isn't it? And we have to be willing to take a stand for what is right and what is true. We do it with gentleness and respect. But if God is telling me to do something, I have to make a decision. But I'm going to listen and obey His voice and only His voice. Even if it's not popular. Even if it's going to upset somebody. Ooh, that's a hard one. Because we want to please, don't we? We want everybody to like us. But you cannot compromise the will of God to be liked of men. Amen? And so the enemy will tempt you. He'll bring people into your life to try to divert you away from what God is calling you to do. And sometimes they will even offer you nice things that are not sinful in and of themselves, but they're a diversion away from what God's called you to do. That's where we have to be very careful, amen, that we're not just doing good things, but we're doing the right thing, and the right thing is the will of God for me. And there's suffering involved. There's persecution. There's rejection of man when you do what God's called you to do. You expect it, amen? You don't be surprised, Jesus said, if they hate you. They hated me, they'll hate you also. If we're living godly in Christ Jesus, we'll suffer persecution. Some way or some form of it, amen? People are going to oppose you. They're not going to like you. They're going to kick you out of their company. But he said, you need to deal with every high place. You need to demolish these things. Anything that's set up, amen, that is in any way connected to the darkness, to the occult. He says, you got to get rid of these high places. Demolish them. I want the land completely cleansed. Otherwise, if you don't, they're going to harass you in the land that I've given you. In Hebrews 12 and 1, it says, therefore, we also, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, you know, let us lay aside every weight. Again, what is a weight? A weight is not necessarily a sinful thing, but it is something that will hinder you in your walk, in your race. And the sin which so easily ensnares us, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us. Get rid of anything in your life that will hinder you in your race and accomplishing the mission of God for your life. It's not worth it, is it? Looking unto Jesus, of course, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross. In other words, he had to deny himself in order to accomplish the mission that he was sent to do. Likewise, we are to take up our cross daily and follow him. He endured the cross and he despising the shame and has sat down now at the right hand, what? Of the throne of God. So, again, Israel's victory and total freedom was dependent on their obedience to the command of God to go in and drive out all the inhabitants, right? To get rid of all the engraved images and all the idols, right? And to demolish every high place, everything that was connected to the occult, to the dark world. Otherwise, he says, if you don't, in verse 55, if you do not drive out the inhabitants of the land from before you, then it shall be, hear it, somebody hear it today, that those whom you let remain shall be irritants in your eyes and thorns in your sides. And they shall harass you in the land where you dwell. The reason why so many people never come into full freedom in Christ is because they compromise. They will not completely rid themselves of the things that God is telling them to rid themselves of. Are you hearing me, somebody? Whenever we're sympathetic towards anything that's evil or from the dark side, or if you're just dabbling, you're thinking, I'm just dabbling with it. That's all the enemy requires to have a foothold and continue. If you want to be free from addiction, you have to completely get rid of everything. Amen. All paraphernalia, anything connected to that. And you have to make sure, amen, that you're not allowing that devil access by listening to his voice, because he just wants an audience. He just wants somebody to say, yes, okay, I'll go along with that. But if he realizes that you're not going there, you're not listening, he doesn't have an audience, then eventually he's smart enough to know that I'm wasting my time here. God warned Israel. He said, don't establish any alliances or friendships with the enemies that are dwelling in the land. And the reason why God told them to do this is because the Lord knew that their freedom, hear me, depended upon what they did with their enemies. Your freedom depends upon you dealing with that enemy of your soul, keeping him in his place and not allowing him to rule over you. Because Jesus Christ has already spoiled principalities and powers, the rulers of wickedness. Jesus Christ has all authority in heaven and on earth. Our Lord, amen, is on the throne, and all authority has been given unto me, he said. And now you go in my name and enforce what I've already accomplished for you at the cross. Don't allow your enemy to rule over you. You rule over your enemy. I've already put him under your feet. Why? Because he's under the Lord's feet. And we've been authorized in his name to go and represent the Lord's interests in the earth realm. That means you. You don't have to call the priest. You don't have to call somebody else. Amen. You just need to call upon Jesus and use the authority that he's already given you to defeat your enemies. You need to speak to that devil and tell him, get out of your way. I rebuke you. I renounce you. I reject you, Satan. In Jesus' name. God means business when it comes to dealing with sin and Satan. How many would agree with that? He means business. Some people have a very flippant attitude about these things. They live a life of compromise. And then they wonder why they're just not free. They're just constantly being harassed. They're not enjoying the journey. Well, maybe if we would just listen to the voice of the Holy Spirit, amen, and listen to what he's telling us to do and be willing to yield our will to his will, and you might be surprised, maybe not. But you'll be surprised what God will do and how God will bring you into a place of rest, a place of peace, a place of freedom. God's people are supposed to be living in peace. Are you hearing me today? The Lord says, my peace I give unto you. He doesn't want us tormented or harassed by the enemy in any way. But he knows that if we don't deal with those things that stand between us and our rest, then they're going to continue to rob us of our peace and of our joy. But he's saying to Israel, I want you to go in and I want you to drive them out. I want you to, right? To get rid of every idol. Every engraved thing, anything that's connected to the dark world. Demolish every stronghold of the enemy, every high place. And if you do that, well, then you will enjoy your walk. You'll enjoy your life together with Jesus. Guys, the devil just cannot torment a believer unless we allow him to. Isn't that true? You know, we got to draw near to God. My wife and I have, she has a channel that's from a Korean, well, it's a Korean television, Christian television station. And, you know, they just went through a very difficult time over there with the elections. And they had this really harsh leftist in there, and he was oppressing and really persecuting the church. And the people of God got together, and day after day after day after day after day, I don't know how many. It went on for a couple of years. They stood their ground. They cried out to God. They, amen, they spoke the truth. They exposed the corruption and the lies. And they just stood to it. And they activated and got the people involved. Amen. So even now, just recently, they were able to elect, just by a fine margin, a slight margin, a conservative president. Amen. That's pro-church.
Amen. Hallelujah.
Amen. And you know what they're doing right now? They haven't gone back to their plow. They're still in it. Amen. They're getting together and they're all getting together and they're crying out to God. Amen. With all that's within their hearts, they're crying out to God. Hallelujah. Day after day, they're still into that. They're still going day after day. Amen. And they're in revival. And yet here in America, it's hard to get somebody to show up once a week to a meeting. Moving right along. There's something wrong, guys, when we don't have a heart for God. It means something else is choking us. Something else is getting in the way. The enemy will offer you good things again, weights, to try to detour you, to bog you down, to get you preoccupied with lesser things, because he's a thief and God wants to give you an inheritance that will never fade or perish. Amen? And he allows you to partner with him in his mission. But if the devil can offer you things that may be good just to distract you and keep you from doing really the most important things, and those are the things that have to do with God's plan, God's will for your life, then he can effectively rob you of an inheritance that God wants to give you. Is that making sense? And so we need to be wise to what the enemy is actually up to. And we need to examine ourselves and say, you know what, if I'm not hungry for God, if I don't have a passion for the Lord, then it's not God's fault. I need to take a look and say, Lord, what is going on? What am I allowing often in my life that's choking me, that's robbing me of that holy passion, that desire You got to hang on to that love, amen, that you have. You got to get back to that if you've drifted from it, amen. And stir up the gift of God within you once again. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I was listening to an interview of two Green Berets that were injured in the Afghanistan war. One of them actually had his leg literally blown off. It was hanging on by some skin. And he had to strap his leg to his torso, you know. And he had to fight his way out of that situation, even like that. By the grace of God, he survived. Another one literally had his guts blown out. His guts had come out, and he took and he had to stuff them back inside his body. But both of them, they were conversing. They were talking. I know that was TMI for some of you, right? But this is the reality. But what they were saying, and it really stood out to me, is that one of them was saying, you know, he said, I had to stay awake. Even though these things had happened, he says, I knew that it would have been more comfortable for me just to close my eyes and go to sleep. He said, but I knew I would die if that happened. So I had to keep myself awake. He said, I would count my fingers. You know, I would focus on things to keep my eyes open to stay awake. Because he said, I knew if I had fallen asleep that I would die. And guys, sometimes it's like that. As we have to fight to stay awake, to stay alive. In spiritual war, we get wounded. We get hit hard. And sometimes our flesh wants to just run away from it and quit, to give up the fight. The enemy wants to put you to sleep. He wants you just to close your eyes and be comfortable. He said the more comfortable thing would be just to die. But they knew there would be suffering involved if they wanted to live. But they knew that their purpose was more important than their escape from the situation. And so they're alive today, amen, to tell their story, because they decided that I'm going to fight to stay awake and thus stay alive. Now, there's something to hear. There's something to learn from this. If we don't stay awake, we don't stay alive. The enemy wants to put you and I to sleep. He lulls you to sleep. It doesn't happen overnight, but over a period of time, he will keep offering you solutions and other things that are not necessary, but there may be good things, but they're things that may be appeasing or pleasing to us. And if we're not careful, we can be allowing good things in our lives that are really bringing us to a place where we become spiritually asleep. Even sometimes churches, you know, are more concerned about keeping people comfortable and keeping the nicest of everything. So they come in and there's such a nice atmosphere. They have such a cushy seat to sit in. And people will come to church if you have, you know, all the bells and the whistles and all the skinny jeans, the smoke machines and all that's the big screens. And, you know, and we're here to make sure people feel comfortable in church. And we want you to feel comfortable. And how many know sometimes the devil is behind comfort? How many know that your mission, the purpose of God for your life, is more important than your comfort? And if we're going to do the will of God, we're going to have to be good soldiers. And good soldiers know that there's going to be times when we are not comfortable in this life. We're going to have to suffer some things. But in order for us to finish our race with joy, we're going to have to endure. We're going to have to overcome. We're going to have to keep our hand to the plow and not look back. Stick to your mission. Stick to the call. Stick to the will of God, amen, for your life. Fight the good fight of faith so that you can finish with joy and have the Lord say to you in that day, well done, my good and faithful servant. Yes. You need to stay awake, guys. We need to stay awake. And if you're asleep, it's time to wake up again. 1 Peter 5 and verse 8 says, be sober. Be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, walks about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. The word sober means to abstain primarily from wine or intoxicants, but it also means to be serious minded, to take a realistic, intelligent approach to life, realize that we are in battle, we are in war, and therefore I need to be paying attention. Hello, somebody. I need to be serious about this thing. This is not something to take lightly. How many know church is not something to take lightly? Getting together with God's people is not something to take lightly. Not only for you, but for the benefit of others. You are here not for you, but for somebody else. You know, an army officer, he studies so he knows how to defeat the enemy. And if he doesn't take his job seriously, it could mean certain defeat on the battlefield. So he has to be very deliberate. He has to be mindful. He has to be awake, alert, amen, and study the situation. You have to know something about your enemy. Hello? What are his capabilities? Yes. And to be vigilant means to be prepared and ready to meet every attack of the enemy. You need to be ready to deal with any attack. Vigilant means to keep watch or stay awake. Be sober, realistic, amen, serious-minded, and stay awake. Hallelujah, because you have an adversary. Amen. And he didn't go away when we received Jesus. Amen. As a matter of fact, often he will just step up his attacks now because you just turncoat on him. And so we need to know who we are in Christ and who he is in us, the authority we have, and we must resist him. If we resist him, he will what? Flee from us. Amen. In order to win a fight, you got to know how to take a punch. All right? But not just taking a punch. How many know you can be defensive in a fight until eventually you get pummeled, right? And beat down. But you have to also know how to what? Throw a blow, right? To punch back. So some Christians, they live in defensive mode. They're always like on the defensive. Oh, the enemy. Oh, the enemy. Oh, the enemy. All right. How about the enemy backing off and saying, oh, no, they're awake now. They're coming after me. Instead of us running from him, we should be coming after him. And that's what Jesus did when he came. Amen. He went after the devil. He dealt with the devil. He overcame him. Yes, he did. He spoiled these principalities and powers, these rulers of wickedness. He said, I saw Satan fall like lightning from heaven. He says, I'm giving you power over all the works of the enemy. Amen. Nothing shall by any means hurt you. But don't rejoice in this. He said, rejoice that your names are written where? In heaven. Be humble about it. Understand it is by the mercy of God that he saves us. Amen. We need to be prepared because we are, whether we like it or not, engaged in a war. And back again to what I've been sharing for the longest time, and you understand this, but because of what Jesus has accomplished for us at the cross, and the enemy has power, but he does not have legitimate authority. And so we have to enforce what the Lord has already done for us in our lives. When God told Israel again to go in to possess the land, he was saying, I've already given it to you. I've already gone before you. It's your responsibility to partner with me and enforce what I've already done and drive out these enemies before you. Why? Because I promised you the land is yours. But you need to go in the authority of my command, the authority of my word. The commander in chief has given his army marching orders that we are going to go about and do good and heal all who are oppressed of the devil. He gives us that ability. You know, what we don't know can hurt us. People perish because they have a lack of the knowledge of God. Amen. And the devil can't push you around once you know what's true. He will bully. He will push you around until you begin to realize who you are and who God is in you. Are you hearing me? That greater is he that's in me than he that's in the world. See, a lot of Christians, they don't believe that, or they don't know that. I've never even heard that. All I got to do is take more pills. Sometimes, you know, you're dealing with a demon. Amen. And you got to take authority in Jesus' name over that. But if you don't believe that, if you don't believe the word of God, If you were listening to these doctrines of demons today that are taking the power of God away from the church, well, that all went away with the writing of the New Testament. Now you've got an impotent body of social gatherers or ever learning, but actually never coming to the knowledge of the truth, who is Jesus Christ, amen, the same yesterday, today, and forever, who's authorized us to go in His name, amen, and to enforce what He's already done, to cast out demons in His name, to heal the sick, to raise the dead. Come on, somebody. This is what God has called His church to do, and He has baptized us with His Holy Spirit, given us the ability to do this in His name, because we're representing His interests, not our own. So James 4:7 says, therefore what? Submit to God, and then resist the devil, he will flee from you. The devil can't lie to you if you know what is true. And so that's what he works through, deception, through lies. Now, I want to share a few more things here. The first one is the devil uses different poses. And one of them is he comes as a snake, as a serpent. And the serpent is very subtle, right? Sneaky. They blend into their environment. They know how to work and get into places where, you know, often they're the same color as their environment, you know. Ever seen those really ugly green? I don't like snakes, but those green, lime green snakes, you know, in the tropics, you know, and they blend right into the tree. And man, you know, it takes a trained eye to see snake, to be able to find a snake sometimes. And you know, The Lord wants His church to have a trained eye. He wants His church to be able to discern the enemy. Because He's a master of stealth and He knows how to blend in to the environment. And even He blends in with Christians. And He has His agents, you know, that He's placed there, you know, to represent His own interests. And so Christians need to be able to see clearly, to be able to distinguish between what is of God and what is not. What is true and what is false. We need this thing called discernment. And you can only have discernment if you're willing to humble yourself before God and allow the light of the Holy Spirit, amen, to come into your hearts and expose those things that God does not want in us, so that we will come to a place where we renounce sinful things, sinful ways, amen, and we allow God to cleanse us, and then He can fill us. How many know that God's not going to fill you until He cleanses you, and He's not going to cleanse you until you humble yourself and acknowledge that you're a mess? And God got a hold of me. Man, I knew I was a mess. I didn't even need to be told about the law. I already knew I was a mess, you know, and I just didn't know what to do. How can I get free from this thing? And God, in His mercy, said, Jesus is the answer. Hallelujah. Turn to the Lord. Confess your sins. Renounce your sinful ways. Humble yourself, amen, under the mighty hand of God, and He will lift you up. And God saved me and filled me and raised me up, hallelujah, and He's still working in me. But God's working through me, hallelujah, because I want to be a vessel for Him. Because I want God to have full permission to enter into every area of my heart, of my life. I don't want any place for the devil, amen. I don't want to give Him any room at all. We need to be just like God had, through Moses, had spoken, right, to Israel and say, get rid of all the inhabitants. Get rid of all the idols. Demolish every high place. Have nothing to do with the unfruitful works of darkness. You've got to be willing to give God full permission, amen, to have all of you. Somebody say, all of me.
All of me.
Are you willing? Give Him all of you. God works in our lives. God strives with man to bring man to a place where he's willing finally to say, God, all of me. I quit contending with you. I quit resisting you. I quit running away from you. I'm now running to you. And I'm saying, Lord, do whatever you got to do. Amen. But make me holy. Because only God can make you holy. You've got to give Him permission. That means you have to cooperate with the Spirit of God. And when you hear the word and the word convicts you, be on spot with that. Amen. Don't wait. Say one of these days, if God is convicting you of something, it means he's providing the grace for you to be free from that. And so don't wait. Immediately get it right. If you have a weak moment and right afterwards you feel a conviction, immediately deal with it. Give it to God. Lord, I'm sorry. Please forgive me. And he does. We need to watch out for that snake. Listen to Paul concerning the church in Corinth, concerning false teachers. 2 Corinthians 11:3, but I fear that somehow your pure and undivided devotion to Christ will be corrupted, just as Eve was deceived by the cunning ways of the serpent. He says you happily put up with whatever anyone tells you. Now, that's exactly what's happening today. We got people running around here listening to everything that's being said, swallowing everything that's being said. Well, maybe just because somebody's performing a miracle, that must mean they're from God. How do you know that? They may be from the devil. You need discernment. You need to be able to spot that snake. Hallelujah. And God gives us the truth. He gives us his word and he gives us his spirit so that we can discern and know the difference. Amen. Know what's of him and what is not. And a lot of people, they don't know the truth and they don't study to know the truth. And therefore they walk around blindly. And if something sounds good or seems good, they just swallow it down. They receive it. And without realizing it, many people are being poisoned in their spirit. You know, sometimes people can speak the truth, but when you walk away from that conversation, you feel defiled. So the devil knows how to quote scripture, but it could be a demonic spirit quoting scripture to try to deceive you into thinking that that's a person, a man, a woman of God. Are you hearing me, somebody? And some people, well, they know all this scripture. They must be a holy man or a holy woman. And so they don't have discernment. They just swallow down whatever they're telling them. And the devil uses truth to bait you, to draw you in so that he can begin to infiltrate you with what? Deception, with lies. And it doesn't happen overnight. The people are walking around knocking on doors and telling people, well, we're Christians. But you start digging through all the surface, find out what they really believe, you realize that they're not Christians. Mormons, Jehovah's Witnesses, they have a different Jesus. Listen to what Paul said. He says, even if they preach a different Jesus than the one we preach, he says, you happily put up with it. You listen to them. They're preaching a different Jesus, but you're receiving that. Well, aren't we all God's children? Aren't we all children of God? No. Jesus said, the Pharisees, you're children of the devil. And they were the religious leaders. You must be born again. He says, or if you receive a different spirit than the one you received, or a different kind of gospel than the one you believe. He was very concerned because there's nothing new under the sun. The same thing is happening today, that people are very vulnerable. And we should, especially if they're new in the Lord, amen, we got to be especially protective because we know the enemy is going to right away try to come and snatch them away and drag them into something that could be very damaging to them. One of the examples would be man-centered teaching, when it becomes all about you and not about Christ. Prosperity gospel. Self-esteem gospel. We need to pray for discernment, you see. We need to ask God, Lord, open my eyes. Lord, root out of me anything that would blur my vision, obscure my ability to see clearly. Because, Lord, it is vital that I can discern, amen, truth from falsehood. That I can tell the difference. And I can't do it apart from the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of truth, who will lead us into all truth. People think that in their own human intellect, they can somehow come to know the truth. And that's why there are so many different persuasions and doctrines and teachings out there, is because man in his human intellect, human understanding, is trying to know the things of God and teach the things of God. But we need the Holy Ghost. We need the Spirit of the Lord teaching. Amen. We need to be submitted to him and allowing him to work and speak through our lives. The devil disguises himself as an angel of light. You know, again, hyper-spiritualism. Here's one. Super spiritual. You know, some people think they're more spiritual than Jesus. Sometimes people are just putting on this act because they're looking to draw somebody after themselves. These cult leaders, amen, are charismatic individuals. They're usually very attractive, right? They have qualities about them, charisma about them. And so they use what they were given by God, naturally speaking, to get into people's homes, if you will, and deceive them, to draw them after themselves rather than Christ. And you know a true prophet from a false prophet. A false prophet will always draw disciples after themselves. A true prophet will what? Point people to Jesus. So we need discernment. We need to understand that the devil has a beautiful side, at least by appearance. Rainbows and butterflies and, you know, unicorns and fairies. All these things, children's toys. Okay, the children's toys are man, it's just absolutely insane. There is so much garbage, all right, that's being presented to our children right now as an innocent little troll. Many of these toys, Pokemon and these other things, they're nothing more than demon spirits that are made to look cute. So to desensitize the children into thinking that these are good things, so when they see the real thing, they'll accept it. Or sometimes even behind the thing that they're playing with is a demon. You see, let me go even further with this. Is anybody, if I made anybody mad yet, I'm not sure, but if I'm speaking the truth, I'll make somebody mad. So let me keep going. Yoga. Well, it's just exercise, is it? Every one of those poses is a pose to a god, the sun god. Amen. It's Hinduism. And they just dress it up and put a pretty package on it so people think it's just an innocent little way to stay in shape. But I've listened to testimonies of a girl from India that's over here telling people, warning people, stay away from it. It's pagan worship. And see, we can always justify what we do. We say, well, I don't think of it that way, therefore. Well, that's the problem, see? He said, get rid of all the engraved images, right? Demolish all the high places. Drive out all the inhabitants of the land. Don't have anything to do at all with the darkness. Because we are children of light in the Lord. And we are to live as children of light. Amen. The light always overcomes the darkness. But if you're compromising the darkness, you're giving the darkness permission to torment you, to harass you, to take away your peace, your joy. God wants you completely set free. Come on, somebody. I can keep going. Dream catchers. Uh-oh. What's it connected to? How many think it would be a good idea to say, Holy Spirit, show me if there's anything in my house that you don't approve of and get rid of it? Sometimes we have problems because of things we've allowed in our homes. Maybe even innocently. Didn't know. How many know even something as innocent as a good luck charm? It's a fetish, right? It's a thing that we are putting our faith in to somehow keep us safe. I even go as far as the people wear crosses thinking that somehow that cross around their neck is going to keep them safe. Guys, that cross itself can become an idol. Because you're putting it between you and the Lord. How many know we don't need a cross to get to Jesus? Amen. Jesus bore the cross for us. Amen. And has opened the way into the heavenlies. So we can now with confidence come before his throne of grace. We don't need to go through any other thing. Amen. We go directly to the Father. We don't need to pray to saints. Amen. Because Jesus is Lord and he's the one intermediator between God and men. He's the only way. When I was a kid, I watched Casper, the Friendly Ghost. You know, I wonder if that wasn't setting me up for things later on. Oh, so not all ghosts are bad or malevolent. There are benevolent spirits too. You know, there are people that are dealing with spirits in their houses that after a while they just decided, well, instead of trying to deal with it, I'll try to make friends with it in hopes that it will leave me alone. It happens. So now they just say, now put that thing back on the shelf. And of course, the spirit obeys them. Why? Because the spirit is trying to get them, all right, to begin to depend upon that spirit. It's a familiar spirit, too. Often they'll see things from the past, or they'll see resemblance of family members that are appearing to them. All right. Angels of light. In the New Age movement, they have these beautiful angelic beings that appear and say, I'm Ramtha, the enlightened one. I'm here to help you through. And all of, in our natural understanding, well, that's got to be an angel. So it must be of God. It must be a good thing because we don't have discernment. We're not able to recognize what it is. And therefore, people begin to worship these things and not realize that they're bowing down to a fallen angel or a demonic entity. You think about a sexy witch that comes into a church to seduce the leadership. Looks beautiful. He tries to make the vial appear beautiful. I talked about this before, but you go by the liquor store, you know, and those bottles are just looking beautiful in there. They're so pretty. When I used to drink, I used to collect different bottles. I thought they were too pretty to throw away. You ever do that? And then I was a connoisseur of beer for a while, so I had all these different, I was always trying a new beer, and I had them just lining around the house, and because the bottles are so pretty. It's like pretty on the outside, but poison on the inside, right? It don't happen overnight, but little by little, the enemy begins to poison you or draw you into deeper. He'll take you from that into the harder stuff, and you know how it is. It's a gateway. So there is no such thing, guy. I think be very careful. If you've got something that's in your house, okay, any kind of spiritual activity, amen, if it's of God, if God is in it, if the Spirit of the Lord is in your home, there's peace, amen? But if you're being tormented by this thing, no, it's not of God, amen? And be very careful because, again, the enemy will appear as an angel of light. And even sometimes the enemy can give you good feelings. He can work on your feelings too to get you to receive something that's not of God. It felt good at the time. And then, of course, sometimes he appears as a roaring lion. He wants to terrorize through fear and persecution. He seeks to dominate mankind. And so we must resist him through prayer and the word of God. And the Holy Spirit gives us boldness so that we can overcome. Not by our own ability, but by the ability he supplies us because we trust him. Now, 1 Peter 5:8, where it says he is a what? Like a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. That word devour means to drink down or to gulp entire. Ever see your dog do that? Gulp, 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 gulp. Well, the enemy does that. He wants to completely devour you and I. So we have to be aware. We have to be alert. Amen. We need to stay sober mind, serious minded about this battle that we're engaged in. We're soldiers. Amen. And so we have to be alert and on guard, amen, not only to be able to take some punishment, amen, and some opposition, because if you want to live out the will of God for your life, amen, There will be persecution. There will be difficulty that will come your way. If you just want to be lukewarm and neutral, well, you may have a pretty peaceful existence in la-la land, but you're not getting anywhere or accomplishing anything. But if you start to live for God, amen, know that the enemy is going to be throwing some punches at you. You got to be able to stand, amen, having the armor of God, and know that God will not allow anything into your life that you're not able to deal with. Amen. First of all, and then you need to know how to throw a strike back. Amen. And keep that enemy on the defensive. Instead of us being in the defensive mode, he should be in defensive mode. Is that making sense? When armies go in to take territory, they go in with the intention, amen, of knowing there's going to be some casualties. They're going to get hit. All right. But their intention is to completely take the land, to possess it, all right, and overcome their enemies. We have to have that kind of mentality when it comes to our spiritual well-being. We have to make sure that we are not compromising with the enemy, that we are discerning and knowing what the enemy is up to, amen, and knowing how to use our weaponry, knowing how to use our weapon effectively in defeating the enemy, amen. Hallelujah. That's why the Lord wants you to get this word in your heart, amen, so you don't sin against him, but you can also use it, amen, when the enemy comes against you to defeat the lie, because the truth will always trump the lie. Wow. I'm going to use one more example. Job. Listen to what the devil said before Almighty God. He says in Job 1:10, have you not made a hedge, fence of protection around him, around his household, around all that he has on every side? You have blessed the work of his hands, and his possessions have increased in the land. But now stretch out your hand and touch all that he has, and he will surely curse you to your face. And the Lord said to Satan, behold, all that he has is in your power. Only do not lay a hand on this person. You can't take his life. So Satan went out from the presence of the Lord. Now, there's two ways the enemy, primarily, the enemy can get to us. By our willful permission and by permission from God. Willful permission, permission from God. Things happen that we don't understand. But willingly yielding to the devil is you and I giving him permission. Ecclesiastes 10 and 8 says, he who digs a pit for others, meaning, will fall into it. And whoever breaks through a wall or hedge or fence will be bitten by a serpent. It's kind of interesting how that was dropped into that passage of Scripture. He's saying you need to be careful not to breach the hedge that God has set about you. How do we breach the hedge, the protection that God has placed? By compromising and listening to the devil, yielding to temptation. Is that making sense? That's something I willfully did. And you can be free, you can be doing good, you can be overcoming, you can have a victorious life. And all it takes, amen, is one compromise. David had everything going his way, didn't he? Everything was going very well. One compromise. Bathsheba. A beautiful thing. Amen. But it was going to bring his downfall in a lot of ways. It caused him a lot of problems. Why don't we just say, you know, Lord, you're always right. And I want you to teach me your ways. Lead me in your paths. Fill me with the knowledge of your will. And Lord, give me discernment so that I can know the difference between what is of you and what is not of you. And give God permission to root out of you anything, amen, that would hinder you in your walk, or anything that would obscure your ability to see clearly, you see. Jesus said if your eye is focused, if it's single, amen, if it's healthy, your whole being will be filled with light. Amen. No place dark. God is saying have a pure attitude and perspective. Amen. Keep your focus on the Lord and the things of the Lord. Stay in the Word of God. Amen. Stay in prayer. Keep your focus. Amen. So that your whole being will be filled with the glory of God. And when the light is on, hallelujah, the darkness has no place to stay. And when that cockroach tries to come in, you're going to pick him out right away. Hey, that rhymed. Guys, do you believe that Christians can have curses put on them? Well, let me just touch on this before we close. I said that about a half hour ago, but you cannot be cursed as long as you're under God's protection. Why? Because God is greater than the devil. Galatians 3 and verse 13 says, Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law, having become a curse for us. For it is written, cursed is everyone who hangs on a tree. In other words, God placed the iniquities of us all upon Jesus on the cross. Dealt with it there. So the power of sin, the power of the curse has been broken in our lives. The condition, hear me, the condition is that we must resist temptation, not yield to temptation, and we must proactively obey the truth. Yield not to temptation, but obey the truth. This is how you keep yourself clean, you keep yourself protected, amen? So the enemy just can't take liberty. Guys, I'm convinced. I've been in ministry 32, 33 years now, something like that. Been in this for quite a while now. And fought many battles, dealt with lots of devils. You know, made the devil mad a lot of times, believe me. If it wasn't for the protection of God, I wouldn't be here. I know that. God sovereignly watches over his children. And even when we do stupid things sometimes, he still guards us and protects us, amen, and doesn't allow the enemy to touch us. But if we persist in doing something in rebellion to him, then the Lord sometimes will take his hand off and allow us to learn a hard lesson. So I've had to guard myself and keep myself. And if I make a mistake, I got to right away run back to Jesus and get it right. Amen. So the enemy has no place in me. If I get offended by somebody, I need to right away deal with that. Amen. I can't let the sun go down on my anger so I don't give the devil a foothold in my life through offense. Deal with it right away. So you can walk into any place. You're not afraid of witchcraft. You're not afraid of Satanism. You're not afraid of this garbage. Amen. Why? Because Jesus Christ, our Lord, has defeated the enemy of our soul. He's broken the power of sin and Satan in our lives. And greater is he that's in us than he that's in the world. Amen. The devil doesn't want Christians to know that. I heard somebody talk one time, well, aren't you afraid that the devil's going to slime you? And then what he said, it was very good. He says, only if I fear it. He said, but my faith is in God and the power of God to protect me and to keep me. And we can go anywhere God tells us to go and do anything God tells us to do because he's with us and he has all authority. Amen. So we're not to be afraid of our adversary. He needs to be intimidated by a believer who knows who they are in Christ. And instead of being on the defensive, amen. We should be on the offensive. So let us be wise and learn, amen, from the examples that God has given us and from the teaching of his word. Hallelujah. God, we thank you and we praise you. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. God wants every one of us here. Every one of us to be totally set free. He wants us to have complete freedom in Christ. He doesn't want any of his children going to bed tormented at night, not unable to sleep because their minds are being tormented. Are you hearing me? Even sometimes the enemy is getting into people's dreams and they're having nightmares and things like that. God does not want that for his children. God wants his children to enjoy the freedom that he purchased for them. Paid the highest price for our freedom. But we have to humble ourselves and be honest about where we really are and quit trying to pretend we're something we're not. Because if you pretend to be what you're not, you'll never become what you should be. But God gives His grace to the humble. If you'll humble yourself today and say, Lord, I need help. I need deliverance. I want this thing broken in my life. And you're willing to take a stand. And maybe you can call on us today. I'm willing to pray with you. I know others will too. But just the first step of getting right is just being honest about the truth, about the situation where we're in. We all struggle at times and we need backup sometimes. God gave us each other. Amen. So it's not about being super spiritual and too spiritual to ever have a problem. That's pride. If you want to be spiritual, humble yourself. Father, we thank you so much for your word today and for the freedom that you have purchased for us. Holy Spirit, I just pray right now that you move upon every heart here. Lord, I pray that you would set every captive free, that you break the yoke of the oppressor. Father, I pray right now in Jesus' name, Lord, that everyone will be completely set free. Lord, that you will convict us by your Holy Spirit and don't allow us to rest night or day until we get right what you're telling us to get right with. Amen. Lord, I just pray you do that work right now in every heart and in me as well. Lord, I don't want any place dark. I don't want to give the enemy any place in me. Lord, I pray that you remove the veil from our eyes. Remove those things from us, Lord, that would hinder us from seeing clearly, to be able to discern between right and wrong, what is truth and what is false. God, in Jesus' name, I pray, Lord, that this body will be completely liberated so that we can praise you and worship you with a full heart of assurance, full faith. Oh, God, that our hearts have been sprinkled by the precious blood of Christ, that our consciences are clear, that we have peace, peace with our God through our Lord Jesus Christ.